This morning, we are gathered here to celebrate and remember the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that Jesus appeared to more than 500 people after he was resurrected and before he ascended to heaven. So it is right for us to look at one of these personal encounters with the resurrected Lord. Our passage this morning is taken from the book of Luke. It is the longest record of Jesus appearing after his resurrection. He appeared to two travelers on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Now, it is an account of how hearts that started being saddened, it were changed into hearts filled with hope. Hearts that were troubled and confused at the start, they later became hearts that were enlightened and uplifted. So this morning, we're going to learn this. We're going to learn that an encounter with the resurrected Jesus will set our hearts on fire. Just like the two travelers on the road to Emmaus. Our passage is taken from Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 34. So I've broken this long section, long passage of scripture, into three parts. Let's look at the first part that's in verses 13 to 21. Verses 13 to 21. And I give you some scripture. It's in verses 13 to 17 to start off with. I read to you. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they walked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know how the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place." Let me give you the main points just from this few verses. Let's look at the background. Our record of events begins with the day of resurrection some 2,000 years ago. We are told that two of Jesus' disciples were making their way home from Jerusalem. They live in a village called Emmaus. That's a distance of 7 miles from Jerusalem. Now you can imagine these two men walking. Their heads were downcasted as they discussed about recent events in Jerusalem leading up to the death and crucifixion of their master Jesus. Now, these two men were not part of Jesus' inner circle of 12 disciples, but they were part of a larger group of men who had followed Jesus till the very end. Now, one of them, we are told, was called Cleopas, but the other, we do not have the name. They were very sad because all their hopes were dashed. They had expected Jesus to be They expected Jesus to be their deliverer from Roman rule. They had probably witnessed the power that Jesus had exhibited when he raised Lazarus from the dead. They expected Jesus to use that kind of power to unleash it upon the Roman rule that had a firm grip over the city of Jerusalem. They expected Jesus to return the Jewish nation to its former glory. Instead, they watched in dismay as Jesus was arrested without so much as a struggle. They watched Jesus being tried by a kangaroo court, Jesus being whipped and suffered a painful, slow death on the cross, a fate that was reserved for the worst criminals. When their hopes were crushed, these two men had no choice. They retreated back to their village to try to begin to pick up the pieces of their old lives before they followed Jesus. They were probably consoling each other when suddenly a fellow traveler joined them as they walked. So that's our second point. Resurrected Jesus joined these two men. We are told in verse 15, Jesus joined them, but they were kept from recognizing him. We learn that the resurrected body of Jesus that appeared to these two men was a normal body. There was no glow surrounding Jesus. He had a physical body. And this gives us an indication of the kind of bodies we will receive one day when we too will be resurrected. It's a normal body. We can expect that. Now, the third point is Jesus came uninvited. We also learn that Jesus came uninvited to walk alongside these two men with their heavy, laden hearts. In the same way, Jesus comes uninvited into our lives when we are saddened, because Jesus knows what we are facing and he will minister to us, just as he ministered to these two men as they walk on the road. Now, Jesus gives hope in place of despair. Now, we can also identify with these two men. We have all faced situations in our lives when things do not go as planned or meet our expectations. Isn't that so? We have all suffered disappointments. We have all experienced hopes that were crushed. It may have been in the form of a relationship that suddenly turned sour or broken because of perhaps an unexpected disagreement or disruption. It could come in the form of failure in some examinations, causing our dreams to be crushed. But just when you and I are mentally, emotionally, and spiritually low, Jesus comes and walks alongside us to set our hearts on fire, for he gives us hope. Let us continue to look at Scripture. Let us begin with verse 22. In addition, some of our women went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then to enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Let us look at the main points. Men had unbelief. These two men told Jesus all that had happened, thinking that this stranger had missed all the action in Jerusalem. They told Jesus that some of the women in their group had gone to the tomb where Jesus was buried. Now, the women went there with the intention to anoint Jesus' body with herbs and spices, only to discover an empty tomb. The two men told Jesus that the women reported that angels told them that Jesus was alive and risen. What these women reported was so outrageous that none of them believed them. Perhaps the women were mistaken. Maybe they went to the wrong tomb. Perhaps the women had fallen into some kind of mass hysteria since they were affected by the grief over the death of their master. Some of the men in their group even went back to the tomb to check whether the story of the women was correct, and they also discovered an empty tomb. These two men were therefore at a loss as to what happened. Some tomb robbers must have taken the body away. But why would anyone want to do that? But we see in their report of the events that these two men were filled with unbelief. Now, as part of the group of disciples of Jesus, they would have heard Jesus say a number of times that he was going to die, that he would be raised again on the third day. Yet when the women ran back from the empty tomb to tell them what had happened, none of the men had believed these women. They did not believe that the women had seen the angels, nor what the angels had said about the fact that Jesus had risen. We know this because in Luke chapter 24, verse 11 up on the screen, I read to you, we are told, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. They dismissed the women as hysterical and unreliable witnesses. The men also had the testimony of scriptures, but they did not believe that either. Now, are we any better? Are we any better? Before we look down at these two men for their unbelief, have there been times when we too had acted in unbelief? The Bible repeatedly tells us that God is with us. He will never leave us. Yet, have there been times when we act as if we do not believe in that reality? And that was why Jesus told these two men they were foolish. The two men had allowed their foolishness to misunderstand the actual events. They saw the events of what happened at the crucifixion that we look at and we know as Good Friday. They saw Jesus dying on the cross, but they did not believe in the events of the resurrection, what we now know as Easter Sunday. And that was why they remained saddened, because they were burdened by a Good Friday without the joy and the hope that comes with the resurrection that follows on Easter Sunday. But the good news is that Jesus did not turn his back on people when they are filled with unbelief. Instead, Jesus comes alongside them and walks with them. So if you're struggling with some unbelief, Jesus has not given up on you either. Now the third point, Jesus explained from scriptures. Now the next thing that Jesus did was to give these two men a short Bible study. The Bible study would begin by turning their hearts around to being hearts on fire. We are told that Jesus began with Moses and all the prophets in explaining to the two men about the Messiah. Although we are not given specific Bible texts that Jesus spoke on, but we can imagine definitely Jesus would have included Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 to 13. We don't have time this morning to look at it, but Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 to 13 is the part about Jesus being the Passover lamb. Now, during the time of Moses in Egypt, when the angel of death was moving through Egypt on that Passover night, killing the firstborn of every household, there was only one thing that could stop it. An unblemished lamb would have to be killed. And then the blood of that lamb would have to be smeared on the door steps, on the doorposts of that household. And then the angel of death would pass over that household and the occupants would be saved. And this, of course, pointed to Jesus as the Passover lamb. Good Friday, more than 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was crucified, was also the time of the Passover. Just as the Passover lamb had to be slain, Jesus, the Lamb of God, who atones for the sins of the world, had to be slain also on that day. Now, another Old Testament text that Jesus might have explained would have been from Psalm 16, verse 10. It's given for you on the screen. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. A prophetic reference, this is from Psalm 16, verse 10. And it certainly points to the Messiah not being sent to the grave, but will be resurrected. Now, the key to understanding these and other prophetic texts pointing to the Messiah was what Jesus explained to these two men in verse 26. And the words were, have to suffer these things. The Lord has to suffer these things. The Messiah had to suffer before he could be glorified in his resurrection. The Messiah had to suffer in order to fulfill God's plan of salvation for fallen man. Good Friday was not the tragedy that these two men thought it to be. The death of Jesus on the cross did not end there on Good Friday, because Jesus was resurrected on the third day, that is Easter Sunday. Jesus' death on the cross paid the penalty for the sins of those who would look upon him as their personal Lord and Savior, who died on the cross on their behalf. Let us look at the remaining verses. Verse 28. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Now let's look at the main points. The first point is recognition. We were told that as they arrived at Emmaus, the two men insisted that Jesus spend the night with them because it was getting dark. And Jesus agreed. Somehow, however, Jesus became the host, even though he was a guest. And the host would break bread. It's always the honor to bless the bread, to break it, and to pass it around. And Jesus was given that honor. It was at that point that these two men were allowed to recognize Jesus, the risen Lord. He disappeared at that point. Now the two men recognized that their hearts were no longer sad, but filled with wonder and hope. They were moved into immediate action. They thought nothing of getting up immediately and returning at once back to Jerusalem to tell everyone what they saw. Now, remember this. They had just walked 7 miles home, but now they will return quickly, even though it was in the dark. They will walk another 7 miles back to Jerusalem. They could not contain their excitement. They wanted everyone to know the news. The Lord is risen. They understood for the first time that the Lord did not come to his end, to death on Good Friday, because he rose again on Easter Sunday. And what the women say was true. Now, what does this mean to us? Few things. The first is the power of the resurrection life. Now, what happened that Easter Sunday, 2,000 years ago, is the start of a pattern that God wants for all Christians, you and I, to experience. The power of the resurrection life. It is a pattern that Good Friday is to be followed by Easter Sunday. Death first, and then resurrection. And that is called the power of the resurrection life. The Bible tells us this in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Now, the resurrection life means that we may sometimes face tough circumstances. But because the Lord has raised us from the dead, we are now to live a new life. We are able to face our circumstances. It may still be the same, but our perspective of it changes. Look at the two men in our text. The circumstances had not changed. They left Jerusalem confused by the empty tomb, and the city was under Roman rule, and they're now going back to a city where the tomb remains empty and still under Roman rule. The circumstances are the same. The difference is that they're now able to face these circumstances with hope because the Lord is with them. How do we know this? Let me show you. Romans chapter 6, 8, verse 11. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. Now, God has given us his Holy Spirit. And we are not left alone to face our hard circumstances. As an example, one of our members here had a relapse in a cancer condition last year. She had to take a course of treatment that had to be stopped because she was unable to go through it. It was difficult. She did not allow her fear or worry to take control, but she asked the Lord to help her. She sought further medical advice, and she began a different treatment that lasted several weeks. Thank God the side effects were not too bad. And just as she was recovering in December, she contracted COVID-19. And to make matters worse, her husband also contracted it. And so they both ended up in Sungai Buloh Hospital. But she did not allow her circumstances to defeat her. She trusted in the Lord to deliver her and her husband from this infection. And many of us prayed for them. And the husband was even in ICU for a period. Now, what happened to them came at a bad time. She was supposed to be recovering from cancer treatment, and she was now facing another life-threatening situation. But she had hope, and so she looked to the Lord for strength, and she and her husband were eventually well enough to be discharged. And the greatest gift that the Lord gave her was that her husband became a Christian after his ordeal in ICU, because he knew that many of us had prayed for him. This is experiencing the power of the resurrection life, surrendering our hard circumstances to the Lord fully and depending upon him and allowing the Lord to mold us to be more and more like Christ. It is this surrendering of dependence on our old self and abilities and trusting only upon the Lord to help us through each day. Now, our heart circumstances sometimes do not change, but our perspective of it can change. Because why? The Lord is with us. He gives us His hope and strength. Now, the questions I want you to think about is this. What hard circumstances are you facing now? Will you surrender it all to the Lord and ask Him to fill you with hope and strength as you submit the matter fully to His will for you? Now, the Lord wants your total dependence upon Him. Not one leg in His boat and one leg firmly on your own abilities. Are you willing to do so and experience Him fully in your current hard circumstances? Now, the second point I want to take and share with you is this. It's an invitation. Now, the two men invited Jesus to come in and stay with them. Jesus is also waiting for you to invite Him in. Have you invited Jesus in where you are, into your life, with all your complexities? Jesus knew what was going through the hearts of these two men, and Jesus sought them out. In the same way, Jesus knows us intimately, and He is wanting and waiting to be invited in. If you have never invited Jesus into your life, the question is, why not? If you're not yet a Christian and you have just heard the eyewitness account that the tomb was empty, that Jesus is indeed the risen Son of God, He died for our sins in our place so that we will not need to be punished for our sins. And He is risen, which means that God had accepted His sacrifice, His death on the cross for our sins. If you believe this to be true, do not let this moment pass you by. All you have to do is to invite Jesus to come into your life this morning. All you have to do is to raise your hand wherever you're seated and say a simple prayer after me, quietly in your heart, and I will lead you to say this prayer. It's very simple. So is there anyone here this morning who wants to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Is there anyone? All you have to do is raise your hand and I'll lead you in a very simple prayer. Do we have anyone here this morning who will want to invite Jesus in? He's waiting to be invited. Do we have anyone? Anyone? Okay, it looks like we are all Christians here and we've invited Jesus. That's very good. Now, many of us here, therefore, are Christians. Jesus is waiting too for you to invite Him in to help you face your difficult circumstances, whatever that may be. And like the two men who have invited Jesus in, Jesus wants to be invited in and He will take charge of the situation. All you have to do is to surrender it to Him. Are you willing to do so? Are you ready to start experiencing the power of the resurrected life that Romans chapter 6 verse 4 and Romans 8 11 talks about? The last point I want to share with you is the fulfillment of future prophecies. Now, the resurrection of Jesus proves that just as He fulfilled all the prophecies about His death and resurrection exactly, that means that we can trust that all the prophecies about Jesus coming back to reign, to rule, to judge this world, it will happen just as it was written in the Bible. That means that if some of us are unhappy about the state of corruption and evil committed by certain politicians and people in power in our country, we can trust that in God's perfect timing, every one of them will face their time of judgment. There's no escaping punishment for their evil deeds if they are not one of God's people. So will you leave this matter to the Lord and not allow anger or unhappiness about any current political situation to affect your daily walk with the Lord? So, brothers and sisters, we thank God that we have faith in our risen Lord. We have hope. We have strength. We have power in Christ for an encounter with the resurrected Jesus. It always sets our hearts on fire. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for our hope, our faith, and our belief is not wasted. It is on the person, the risen Lord, the Son of God, the name above all names, the King above all kings. And so, Lord, thank you for being in our lives to enable each one of us to live the power of the resurrected life. May we live it for your glory. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.